Welcome to Happily Family. I'm Cecilia
And
Hilke,
I'm Jason Hilke.
and we are delighted today to have Shelby Zarnick with us. Shelby is a clinical social worker, certified ADHD professional, childcare coach, program developer, and visionary leader. As the founder of Essential Life Tools, she helps clients shift weaknesses into strengths, fosters deep trust, and helps her clients heal. As a person with neurodiversity, a professional, and a parent, Shelby understands firsthand the complexities of raising and supporting individuals with diverse neurological needs as she works towards a world where individuals can all thrive. Welcome, Shelby. It's great to have you.
Thanks for being with us, Shelby.
Thanks for having me today.
Shelby, I wanted to first ask you, because it's interesting that you're a person who has neurodiversity yourself and you have a child who is neurodiverse. Do you find that that is an asset that you can relate to your child more easily, or that it makes things more difficult because maybe you're weak in the same areas that they are weak in? How does that work?
Great question. So, in the moments of intensity, it may be harder because what she is doing to dysregulate me and herself is the same thing. Then later upon reflection, it's great because then I'm like, okay, so this happens. What do I do to regulate? What do others do? Also, I can relate when I tell her to breathe and she literally can't. How that could be possible. So it's a
Yeah.
bit of both.
So it kind of provides some understanding about her, but at the same time might also be pressing some of those buttons and some of the difficulties that you're having as well. Is that it?
Yeah. And overthinking, like neurodivergent brains usually think a lot.
Kind of.
Hard to not overthink the interaction in it and around it.
Yeah. So what advice do you have? Because I think this is actually pretty common for people that their child gets diagnosed and they get diagnosed around the same time. So I think that's fairly common. What advice do you have for moms or dads that are listening to this and they're thinking, "Oh my gosh, that's me, and I'm trying to support my child in these areas that I am also trying to develop myself."
I find this happens a lot from my experiences too. And what I've found is first for the parent to accept and become aware that they could have the same issues and diagnosis. That's a big thing that I feel like is the first step I have to help parents is the awareness for them. And then flipping that from being a sad, ooey thing to like, actually, this could be an empowering thing. Like, now I know what I can do to make myself better and my connection and relationship with my child better. So, acceptance is like the first step. And then I always recommend to kind of get your own therapist or find some things that connect with your brain to start helping you understand your brain, normalize your brain. And then find tools for the way that it functions.
So very much like what we talk about in parenting in other cases is just working on yourself first, doing some of your own work really helps with the parenting and being able to figure out strategies for yourself as well as an understanding of yourself. Is that it?
It's making me reflect on like a case that I had where I was trying to figure out a kiddo and lacking connection with the parents for involvement and following through with some of the stuff we were trying to do. And then when I saw him individually, the dad, I was like, oh, you have very similar brains. So that is why the tools that we're using are not working. And so now I need to see you as this other brain to now help you to help your kid.
Nice. I would love to hear examples of, and maybe even that same story, that same family, of what you did to help the dad and then for him to help his child.
Like what tools or
Yeah,
strategies they
like
use?
it to paint a picture.
So, a lot of the philosophy around neurodivergent brains is this way of different thinking that might not make sense to others, like irrational or maybe a trigger or something just to other brains is like, I don't understand at all how that's triggering or how that's your experience. So with him, I really had to sit and listen to those things and barriers. I'm trying to think of an exact example, and my mind is going blank. But the theme really is like irrational. What was I just got done with a client, and I would really had to sit in with him and like live in his experience that makes no sense. And that's what he also said was validating.
And I think in your chapter in the book, you talk about behind every struggle, there's a strength. And so you hinted at that a little bit there when you were just talking about like recognizing, like acknowledging for yourself or understanding yourself about like what a parent might be struggling with, or what their diagnosis might be, or whatever. But then also to understand how they can use that as a strength. Could you talk a little bit about that? Like, what's an example of something that could be a struggle, but flipped could be a strength?
So a little bit ago, I was sitting with someone that, like parents, we overthink in general. And then a little bit more is that we might experience Google. And so we are the Google that has 10 million tabs of options of what we can do with ourselves, with our child at work. And then we struggle with how to pick one, fear of forgetting. So you don't want to eliminate any of the tabs, but it's too much clutter. And so fixation, that could be like a curse in this sense, because then you're overwhelmed, your heart's pumping fast. For me, I get giddy and excited when I hear that, because flipping that is you can do a lot of learning and a lot of gaining of information super fast, like half the time as other brains. And so the trick is being creative and seeing of like, okay, so we're going to learn what are all the skills, all the tabs, how are we going to file them so you can like let that go? How are we going to control the urge to Google? Do we have someone that we trust with our value system? Right? That matters too, with your supports aligning with your value system, with their suggestions and helping you find the path. Going to that person versus Google, or setting a timer on Google. And understanding that that's what's happening. So sometimes labeling fixation or their word brings awareness. So then they can actually realize it in the moment and stop it and control it.
Got it.
Nice. And I think this is a really important conversation for parents to hear, that behind every struggle is a strength. Because for parents, when they're looking at their kid, it's very easy to see the struggles. And the struggle could look like, my child has a meltdown, or transitions are super hard, or emotions are getting in the way of things, and maybe sensory sensitivities, like all of these things. How do you support parents in seeing the strength behind some of those other everyday kinds of things?
How exactly is this happening? Sometimes changing my automatic thought to a how will change your demeanor. I love an example is that there's a story in the book. Like an example is that this kiddo lit curtains on fire. And so you're going and you're like, dude, why did you light the curtains on fire? Like, what happened? Like, what were you thinking? Pause. How exactly did the curtains get on sir? Well, I lit them. Well, then how exactly did you think to light them? So, as you can see, it's really hard to have an angry demeanor. When you're using how, it turns on curiosity and wonder. And then it can kind of be funny, because figuring out how to ask a question in a how form is very hard and different and funny. So, like, that's like an example, especially when it's like breathing isn't enough, you can't leave the room. Because if you leave the room, then your kiddo jumps to like as big as abandonment or a safety thing. So that was a great example, a big one. And the behind that story was this kid lit the curtains on fire because his dad's a firefighter and he hadn't seen him in a while. And so he knew his dad may come. So it's like this image of this angry kid that maybe I could diagnose as a pyro or something, a defiant behavior that was actually a sad behavior because every behavior means something. We just don't know what it is. And how exactly is also a tool that I use to help dig, as you faintly heard me going into, like get to the cause in a fun way versus a angry act way.
So I hear step one is put out the fire on the curtains. Step two is ask how instead of why or what the heck are you doing or any of those other questions, like to shift the question to how. And then step three, what I'm hearing is that that helps us identify what the purpose of that behavior is underneath it. And then we can understand our kids. Is that an accurate summary? Okay.
And in your chapter, you also talk about the importance of connection. And that I'm wondering what could you say more about that? And also how connection could look different in moments of like where there's calm and moments when there's maybe even a new example you just gave, like what looks like defiance. What does connection look like in these different scenarios?
Well, and you made me realize a connection I want to add is as the parent and the kiddo, the connection with the school or with other people. Because if the kiddo is seen like that behavior, it's very common that the rest of the world will react that way. And then you as a parent might get angry at them. And so I just wanted to add that thinking of connection with the system. The biggest thing that I'm laughing about because I just gave an example on this was that individuals with neurodivergent brains really struggle with communication in general, like regardless of while you're speaking, when you're anxious or you're angry, you're in a high, even excitedness, you might hear stuttering, like in a high emotion versus a calm, when your body's calm and content, kind of an emotion. And that a lot comes from like processing errors we have, like you say something, it goes into my brain, then it processes, and then it comes to my mouth and then comes out. So in the book, there was great tools of iMessage, tools to respond in a way to prevent the rev up, and then tools of how to do it when you're in it. Step one of when you're dysregulated, no one can talk. Really, I have to have a lot of what I call like the pause. You have to pause in awareness, and because also brains move like Ferrari fast. Gift and curse here. So I know that you can la pause and body check and stop yourself in T minus 2 seconds. If I flip that for you to be a strength versus other brains. So some parents, I insert a la pause. You're not allowed to talk for a certain amount of time in response, especially when there's dysregulation. And when your child is shouting at you, no one can talk. Everyone has to regulate. Or what you're doing is breathing. And I started using this word team. Like people talk about family as a team. I've noticed a change when I say team. We are a team here. I am a team. I'm also not going to get angry and show you that I'm dysregulated and out of control. And so I'm going to say, I'm a team. I'm your mom. I understand. I notice that you're crying and your voice is wavering. And the bus is going to be here in 5 minutes. And we still haven't figured out what we're doing for lunch. And I'm going to sit here with you and help you through this and start to pack up the lunch so that we can get on with our day. And remember, like, we're a team here. So whenever you're ready, you can scream and do it. Whenever you're ready, I'm right here to be here with you. And what's happened from that is team and making sure that I am like acknowledging and noticing the behaviors of emotion. And then I am keeping myself focused and regulated on the task. I think what also happened is there were flowers in front of me. And I said, oh my gosh, aren't those beautiful flowers? Look, that one's wilting. And then she like, oh, We talked about flowers, and then in like less than a minute, we were regulated to actually pack the lunch and get on the bus on time.
Wow.
Yeah, so like the tool you're told is name five things in the room, but you can't tell your kids that. You just have to do it.
Got it. Okay. So you said a bunch of good things that I want to highlight. Because you mentioned iMessages, and I think you also did a bunch of them right there, if I'm understanding correctly, when you said, I'm noticing this.
I'm on the on your team.
I'm on your team. I'm going to do this. I'm going to, be here to help. And giving your child permission. You can have your feelings. You can do whatever you need. Oh, and then I'm noticing these flowers. So, like, are those some different examples of iMessages?
Those are great examples, probably, of being in the moment and present. iMessages are very much in like the world of feelings. So the order is I feel. You always start with the feeling because typically the other person doesn't want you to feel that way, so they'll listen to the next piece. So I'm feeling upset because we are sitting here and crying instead of figuring out this is a bad example, the lunch. I need us to just sit here. I mean, that was kind of it's basically I feel. So then people's ears turn on because they don't want you to feel that way. And sometimes it's even, I don't know what I need. I'm just acknowledging what's happening right now. Or I feel angry because I'm yelling and you're yelling. I think we need to break for 5 minutes.
I also like the using the team, the idea of calling ourselves a team. In particular, like what occurs for me as you say that is, as a parent, it can shift me out of an enemy image of my child. They're no longer my enemy. They're on my team. They're no longer someone I'm pushing against. They're not someone I'm trying to work against. It's someone that I'm working with because we're all on the same team. So I like that kind of that shift that could happen for the parent in the same way. Is that part of it?
Yes, and then the we language starts to come out. So I do a lot of we, like, we need to get on the bus. We need to get the lunch. We need to. So it's kind of like a mix a bit.
Yeah. You also mentioned earlier body checking, and I wanted to ask more about that, what that means, and how you do that.
I personally visualize like an X-ray starting at my head and going down this way of dysregulation. Or sometimes in my neurodivergent experience, I get caught in the thinking, like I'll notice that my brain is like either all over scattered or it's like a same repetitive thing that's not going to benefit me. Those are kind of like my awareness for regulation with body check.
Got it.
Yeah. So you're tuning into your body and maybe figuring out what you need.
Yeah, because if it's like my shoulders are tight, then I just need to do like this and this and this and this.
Yeah. I love it because there's so many times when our bodies are doing things or our feelings are doing things, but if we don't actually take the time to stop and check and think, huh, where am I feeling this in my body? Or what emotion am I feeling right now? Then I'm often unaware of what those things are. And I'm just kind of reacting.
And you can't use the iMessage. Like, you
Yeah, I
can't.
can't.
That's where that, like, la pause comes in. And also, like, is this angry because I'm exhausted or hungry? I use HALT a lot. Hangry, hungry, hang, hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Because if I or my child is any of those things or sick, I can tell when she's going to get sick because she'll be overstimulated and dysregulated a day before it. And I can't find anything else because she's got the others. That's when I know to be flexible. That's when I know to like let her brush her teeth on the couch. If things aren't safety concern, I'm usually flexible, especially when we're in halt.
And earlier on, you've talked about a few different places for supporting our kids, supporting the family. Could you talk a little bit more about like how does a family figure out what's a good network or a good way to build a support system for themselves, whether it's involving professionals or acquaintances or family or school or work, whatever. Could you say a little bit more about that?
A lot of times I first want to assess or have them sit for a second and like brain dump supports, like people involved in their life, and then find a way to rate them if they're good or not great supports to see who you really have. And then you can even add a line of like the purpose, as in like when I want to know about this thing, I go to this person in my whole community of family and friends and then professionals. And then if it's very small, I would say finding a coach or even one of those friends to help you find your values and communication skills and ways to develop boundaries to then start growing those supports.
Sounds super helpful, especially for parents who maybe are dealing with a lot of their own work and recognizing that they're not alone and that they can have other places to get support for themselves or other families.
Yeah, and I think it's also helpful for the kids
Yeah.
to recognize, oh, I have all these people that are on my team.
Yeah.
And maybe my parents aren't available, or maybe I don't want to go to them for this particular thing, and I can go to these other trusted people to get support and information about stuff.
Yeah, how many times do your kids tell grandma something that's important but didn't tell you? And you're like, what?
Yeah, I love that. As we're wrapping up here, do you have any final words or anything else that you'd like to pass along to folks here?
Just to like my parents and professionals, again, it's kind of that like behind every struggle is a gift needing to be found. It's kind of your job to find it and be aware of it.
That's awesome. And you offer a lot of support for families online. And I think you have quite a few resources that are free and also paid. Could you tell us how's the best way for people to find out more about what you have?
Everything is kind of on my website, which is in the speaker notes below. There's a way to do the email, there's a way to send out messaging. You can request to consult with a button.
Great.
All
So we'll include a link to your website in the speaker notes. And thank you so much for spending time with us, Shelby. It's good talking to you, and love that you're supporting families where they need it the most.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.